Africa is the focus in our periodic updates with Charlene Hunter-Galt, who is NPR's special Africa correspondent. We've got a lot to talk about: South Africa's new seat on the UN Security Council, conflict in the Ivory Coast, and 10,000 immigrants with ties to Burundi settling in the United States. Welcome, Charlene.
Thank you, Farai.
So, starting with South Africa, what does this seat on the UN Security Council mean?
Well, you know, South Africa has called it historic. I think that's a bit of a stretch because there have been Africans on the Security Council before. But I think that what South Africa is thinking of is that, you know, it's the biggest African dude on the continent's block, and that they can really make a difference in bringing, you know, a new balance, new voices to what is a body that's dominated by what they call the Perm Five. That's the United States, China, France, the United Kingdom, and Russia. They hold veto power over any decision that's made. You know, and with them having veto power, it's very hard for any small voice, as it were, to really be heard. But South Africa is not a small voice. It is the superpower on the African continent. Its voice is well respected throughout the world, not just with the Africans and the non-aligned, but increasingly in major countries. So I think that they're seeing it as an opportunity to use this as a bully pulpit to bring some balance and, you know, to bring the issues of Africa to the forefront within the framework of the African Union and the non-aligned movement. So I think that they're seeing it as an opportunity to use this as a bully pulpit to bring some balance and, you know, to bring the issues of Africa to the forefront. But it's a really big challenge because the power of persuasion is going to have to go a long way.
Now, the president of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, has been asked to be a mediator in the Ivory Coast conflict. But the irony is, just as South Africa is getting this historical seat on the UN Security Council, he has either stepped down or been pushed off. Is that correct?
Whether he was pushed or whether he jumped is an open question. He's saying that he resigned so as not to have a conflict of interest when South Africa takes its place on the Security Council. But there's been a lot of opposition to him mediating this conflict. First of all, because I think the leaders in the western part of the country, where continent where Ivory Coast is located, they think that's in their backyard and they should be mediating. And secondly, France, which is the former colonial power and which still has economic interests in the country, I think resented South Africa stepping in. And they've been supported by Senegal's president, Abdoulaye Wade, who has long had some issues with President Mbeki, even though they both talk about an African renaissance. So we don't really know why Mbeki is out and others are in, but he's out, although he will have some say about what goes on there once South Africa begins to speak as a part of the Security Council.
Why don't you unpack the situation in the Ivory Coast for us a little more?
Well, you know, there was a failed coup attempt in 2002 by rebel forces in the north known as the New Forces. They felt that their part of the world, their part of that country, was not being represented. And so there's been fighting there and even in the capital, Abidjan. And it got really bad there for a while. And it's still, you know, I call it a bubbling cauldron. And so they've tried now to have some kind of peace agreement so that they can move forward. Elections were supposed to take place very soon, but the African Union, its Peace and Security Committee, got involved. And so what they have done is extended the current president, Laurent Gbagbo's mandate for another year, but they've given the prime minister amazing powers because he's got all of the opposition parties within his cabinet. So they've given him the power even to pass legislation or pass things by decree. Hopefully, he will be able to prepare for elections, he will be able to get the millions of people who still have yet to get identity documents certified so that they can vote within a year. And so, you know, that's the situation as it is. There are huge obstacles, though. If you want to talk about those, we can.
What is the main issue in these upcoming elections?
Well, as I said, it's representation. I mean, the people in the North felt that they weren't being represented. There's been a whole crisis around who is an Ivorian. For example, one of those who was contending before Alassane Ouattara, his mother was born in one country, and Burkina Faso, and although I think it was his mother, his father was an Ivorian, but that got to be a critical test, partly as a way of excluding him. And so it's been who's an Ivorian, who's well represented, you know, those kinds of things. And so the issue will be getting the opposition parties to come together, getting the rebels to remain peaceful, and then disarming both rebel and government soldiers so that, you know, you can identify the millions of Ivorians who so far have been unable to be listed in the voting rolls so that they can get on the new electoral list and you can have a truly representative election.
Moving into Central Africa, the U.S. is planning to take in about 10,000 Burundian refugees. They've been in Tanzanian refugee camps for as far back as 1972. Why now and why this?
Well, you know, I think we need to go back to 1972 because these were people who fled from the Tutsi-dominated government and ethnic killing in the country of Burundi. This was just the opposite of what happened in the Rwandan genocide. So in this instance, the Tutsis dominated, and so they've had a 12-year civil war that has now ended. I mean, there's peace in Burundi, and there's a Hutu-led government that was elected to power, and some 315,000 Burundian refugees have been able to return home since 2002. But, you know, there's not enough land there, so, you know, they're looking for some place that they can make a home. So the Bush administration has offered permanent resettlement to them, and they'll be brought to the United States over the next 2 years and eligible to apply for U.S. citizenship.
A lot of times when groups are moved en masse from a refugee status to the U.S., it has been because the U.S. feels a direct sense of responsibility, like with the Hmong, the Hill people who helped the U.S. during the Vietnam War. And in this case, why is there any particular reason why the U.S. decided to intervene at this level?
Well, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees has been petitioning the United States to do this for a long time. It's finally come to fruition. But this is the reason that they just need. And they've also asked other countries to participate. It's not just that they've asked the United States to take these Burundians. You know, that's primarily the reason. The UN's, you know, constant you know, advocating for the resettlement of these people.
Well, Charlene, thank you so much.
Thank you, Farai.
Charlene Hunter-Gault is NPR's special Africa correspondent.